Like a trusted turnout jacket you've had for years, Flex 7 outer shell fabric delivers a perfectly broken-in feel on the very first wear. Flexible, comfortable, and powered with the strength of Enforce technology, Flex 7 outer shell fabric is made to move. To learn more, visit tenkatafabrics.com/flex7. Flex 7, powered by Enforce technology. Only from Tenkata Protective Fabrics.
This episode of Fire Engineering Podcast is sponsored by LogRx, providing real-time accountability of all your narcotics from cradle to grave. Coming soon, LogRx will also track medical supplies, equipment, PPE, and even vehicle checks. Learn a better way to track your narcotics at LogRx.com. That's LogRx.com.
Welcome to Tailboard Talk
with Chris Rasmussen,
Craig Nelson, and Jeff Wallen. Every month we explore different topics of interest to you, our cohorts in fire and emergency services. So whether you sit back and listen, sound off on the message board, or call in live to be part of the conversation, we welcome you to join us in our mission to improve the fire service for those we serve and those we serve beside. Now coming to you live from the Great White North, this is Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Tailboard Talk for Friday, July 19th. This is Jeff.
This is Craig.
And Chris. A little warm today, Jeff. You want to talk about it?
No, I wasn't going to bring that up. But yes, actually, it's...
We kind of talked about that.
It's a hot one here, and we're going to get no sympathy at all from anybody in the rest of the country.
No, because when we say it's hot here, it's low 90s, high 80s.
Right.
Everybody right. else is over 100. Hurricanes. Usually we're the ones on the short end of that stick.
Yes, and my level of sweat is also partially dictated by my body composition. So it's not just the temperature or the humidity outside.
Self-infliction.
I wish there was a way to find out the age of listeners, because the older the listening group, the more we should talk about the weather.
Right.
The younger the group, the less you talk about it.
Well, I think we're just because of our age, we'll just complain and then move on. But it is hot. It is hot.
It's always safe to complain about the weather.
We haven't started talking about our illnesses and ailments yet, so that's good. That's a whole other category.
On the next episode of Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio,
what
Craig goes
you?
Into great detail about his joint pain and how he can predict the weather through it.
Not what ale do you like? What ails you?
I actually can, but I'm not going to talk about it. So yeah, it is a warmer than usual. Maybe not warmer than normal July up here, but across the country, you definitely see increased temperatures all the way across. I think we might be the safest area right now.
Yeah, and you know, you could take a look at the temperature and complain about how hot it is and how much you don't like it, or you could spin that into that it sure beats the cold weather that we have going on, and good for the crops and all that kind of stuff. Corn's going to grow. Right. Just kind of wondering how you decide which approach to take to the weather, whether you're going to be a crabby SOB or whether you're going to try to find something good in it.
I think it's best just to complain no matter what it is. I'm not sure what the ultimate temperature is. I'll tell you when I find it in the moment, right?
If you complain enough, does it bring you full circle and it's not a complaint at some point?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it always stays. Right. Hope the listeners enjoyed the last two shows.
Yeah,
I thought that was a pretty good story out there. And if you haven't heard that, you should go back and listen to the last two episodes.
Yeah. In fact, stop listening right now. There's nothing else to be gained from this episode. Immediately go back to our previous two episodes where you will learn something and can make a difference.
Right. Human trafficking is a big issue. I think the fire department can get involved and help out. So recognize signs and those things that are going on and seek out help. So go back, and I don't want to recap the both episodes, but go back and listen to Monty Franks.
Our visit with Monty. And
yeah.
And we'll try to have him on again another time, sometime soon here. We don't want to bother him too much,
right.
But he's a busy guy, but we'd like to have him on again and go a little further into this. And I know we talked about it in those episodes, so not to rehash all of that, but we've taken some steps in our department to try and start building an awareness and a recognition.
Yeah.
So we'll keep hopefully feeding on that when we get a chance.
It's kind of recapping everything we've been up to lately, I guess.
Yeah. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about attitude.
I don't, what do you mean by attitude, Jeff?
Yeah. Well, you know, what would you say makes a good attitude?
Well, not the heat.
Obviously not.
The heat's definitely a factor.
It is a factor, right? That's it. Keep going back to the hot.
The hotter it is, the worse attitudes get.
Attitude in the home, at the store, or what are you referring to?
Well, Jeff? You know, since we're on tailboard talk, I'm more concerned about in the fire station because my home life is perfect, as is everybody's in the fire service. So there's nothing to be improved upon there.
Good. So you want to talk about having a good attitude in the fire service?
I do. I would like to see that one day.
Do you find that a challenge?
I think if we're not focusing on it, it becomes a challenge. Yeah, I do. And I think an attitude change without trying to manage it happens in small slips. You know, it's not as if you come to work one day and you've got a great attitude and the next day you come to work and you've got a horrible attitude and you wear that horrible attitude for the next 7 years.
Sure.
I think quite often it's something that affects the individual slowly over time. I think it's something that can affect crew slowly, time over time, or a battalion area or a shift. And I think one commonality that is with that is that if we're not paying attention to our attitude, if we're not trying to keep work and life and everything in perspective, we can tend to become pretty disconnected from the things that are important in our life and start to lose our ability to find joy in the things that are around us.
Absolutely. Oh. I mean, it's, you know, the fire service is one of the jobs. I've been very lucky to be able to tell people that I've been here for 30 years mm-hmm. and there's only been one day that I wasn't really excited about coming to work. Other than that, you know, my alarm goes off in the morning. I'm pretty excited to get out the door and get to work and be surrounded by great people, get out and hopefully making a difference. Sometimes in my position, I'm just sitting here writing a project or doing something like that, which is kind of boring, but yet you got to keep the attitude that in the long run, it's going to be good. So, but I can tell you the one day that I did not want to come to work, it was driven by a chief at the time that was on the rampage, and it didn't matter. I'm not even sure what he was mad at. It was just whoever was in his sights lately got the brunt of it. So, and I was, at the time filling in as assistant chiefs, what do we call now, battalion chiefs. And I was front and center every morning, and he didn't like something and I got the brunt of it. So that only lasted one day. You know, you got to realize that people don't dictate your attitude. And then I also ran and hid for a couple of days, got in the pickup and got out of there. So that helped. So, so that's what's created, you know, I had a bad attitude about it in the morning, but I got to work and the day wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And, I always feel it's self-motivated. Maybe we can just start there. Mm-hmm. It's all about your personal attitude. You can complain about workload. You can complain about temperature. You can complain about city commission. You can complain about, you know, all these things, but it comes down to your personal goals, you know, at work and at life and those things. So it's completely attitude. Now, I do agree what you said earlier. Things can drag you down, and they can slowly take pieces of you away to where you become a bad attitude. But I've always been the guy that I like to call people out. A kitchen table is the greatest place in the world, and it's also the worst place in the world sometimes. You get one individual that's having a bad attitude, and they people, if they're highly respected or highly thought of, they'll be followed, respected for their bad attitude. They'll have the same attitude as that individual. So it's best just to call them out sometimes. That's how I feel, but attitude is what you create.
Yeah. So it starts with you as an individual. It starts with yourself. But you were talking about looking forward to going into work every day. And that's one of those things that I think most people, most listeners are going to be able to relate to, because most of the people we work with are good people. They're motivated people. They're happy people. And so to me, it's one of those things that it grows upon itself. So if you have a good attitude and the people you work with do, that's contagious. That's going to spread, and it's going to spread in a positive way.
Absolutely. And I've always been one to think for myself, take all the information in. And then if my bad attitude comes, it's because I've decided I'm going to have a bad attitude, but because of the facts. But you got to take it all in, listen to everybody, have their opinions, and then form your own and choose to have an attitude, a good attitude or a bad attitude. So it's easy for me to say it. I've had this discussion with my spouse before. She asked me how morale was at the department. I said, oh, it's great. She said, oh, it's easy for you to say that. You're the battalion chief. Made me think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, because I do have a position and I do lead a group, and their attitude better be good, right? so that's how I've kind of looked at it.
I don't give them a choice.
But it's you know, I do lead a group of people, so my attitude obviously would run off onto others. That's how I always looked at it. Sometimes it's best just for me to not say anything, and if my attitude is bad, and walk away or something. But
so I think most people would understand what we've been talking about. Most mm-hmm. people would understand that you're responsible for your own attitude. But I think you hit it on it, Jeff, with stopping and actually thinking about it. I think a lot of times we don't recognize when our attitude is bad. We don't recognize when we've gone negative or we're complaining. And so then how do you recognize it? And then two, how do you force yourself to stop? And is there a method you use? Is it just a stop every once in a while, take a break, reflect? Because that's the other piece of it. A lot of people aren't going to tell you your attitude's crappy. They're just going to talk about it behind your back.
Right, right.
And say you have a crappy attitude. And so in a lot of the cases I've seen, myself included, I don't think people realize their attitude is bad.
Right. I think it starts by being open enough to look at more than your own viewpoint about what's going on. Because stopping and taking a minute to reflect, part of that reflection needs to be, am I right? Am I out of line? But also, what are the other viewpoints about the thing I'm either happy about or the thing that I'm not happy about? Because I think that's where we tend to lose perspective sometimes, and it can tend to snowball. So, see, you know, the fact that problems exist in the fire service does not mean that the fire service is bad.
Right. Right.
The fact that there are problems that have to be addressed doesn't mean that leadership stinks or that you're not getting support from your city or your organization. Trucks are going to break. We're going to have calls that we don't feel like we're being as productive as we should be. Call volumes are going to change. Society's going to change. You can't pick your coworkers. You can't pick your bosses. You can't pick the elected officials. Right. And a lot of these things are the things that tend to get us bogged down in the fire service, because if only we could fix all those people problems and then get enough commitment to double or triple our budgets, then maybe we could all be happy.
Right.
But does happiness come from those things or from having your idea of what all the right people are? Or is that going to make somebody else in the department equally unhappy because their vision is a little bit different than yours?
Yeah. And how do you, you know, we have a department of 100 and be 140 because sometimes here soon, that's a lot of individuals working. Everyone has their own opinions about things. So how do you keep everybody happy? You know, hopefully they end up in turn have a good attitude.
And almost calm. I guess that's what I'm kind of picking up from what Jeff's saying is there's a calmness to stopping and reflecting on what's important in life.
Yeah.
Family's important. Friends are important. Your work is important, especially when you get to do what we get to do. You get to go out. You get to save people, help people. Those are the important things, and we get drawn to politics, money, a lot of these other things. And right now in our country, we're at a very, very volatile time, a very divisive time. And so I think it makes it even that much more important that we're having these conversations and stopping and reflecting and thinking about what we're doing and being part of pulling people together, pull a part of being a positive attitude rather than focusing on the negative.
Yeah. Is that easy to do? I think it's a struggle every day. And there's things on TV right now that get me pretty excited. And you know, I hopefully it doesn't, I don't take it to work. We talk about, there's some things that we don't talk about at work, not fire service related, outside of, you know, politics or whatever. Yep. And that kind of keeps some of the peace, you know, around there. I think that's, you just have to recognize it. So I recognized that I was having anxiety, not to that level, but watching the news, that I just needed to stop watching the news for a while. I just needed to stop doing that. That worked for me. I don't know if that works for everybody, but it worked for me. Give me a little break, you know, watch some Seinfeld or something, do something else, make me laugh for a little while.
Well, it's kind of interesting you say that, because you've got different types of media. So you're talking about news media, which you can get through obviously very many different mediums. Yeah. But one of our other coworkers was talking about this not too long ago, and talking about how he's like, have you ever noticed you watch somebody scrolling through on their phone, social media, et cetera, and eventually they just end up frustrated and angry.
Yep.
He's like, I can't remember what he called it. He had a name for it, but they scroll until they're angry.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's a half hour, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's probably multiple hours. And so it's learning to pull yourself away from that stuff. And some of that stuff is designed to purposely make you angry.
Absolutely. That's what
it is. It keeps drawing you back in. It draws advertising revenue. There you go.
So, yeah. So I try to look up things that aren't related to that. Smoking meats comes up on myself all the time.
There you go.
There you go. Check it out. You know, learn new things, try to learn something. The internet's great, but.
Well, it's maybe part of that life balance.
Yeah.
I know that's one of those things that I think I've been trying to work on for many years, but trying to slow down. I think a lot of people in the fire service are really good at signing up for things, extra projects. Again, we have good people. They're motivated. They want to do good things. They want to succeed. And so we sign up for a whole lot of things that we maybe don't have the time for or the ability to do without it increasing our stress levels.
Right.
And so maybe part of it is planning on that long-term look at what am I doing? What am I a part of? And picking the things that are most important and focusing on those.
Right.
And then I think also mixing in some of those relaxing activities, like you said, smoking meats, get the pellet grill going,
watching something on TV, you know, some sporting event that you enjoy or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, I think it comes down to, you know, step one is take care of yourself. You know, I think, you know, get enough rest, you know, prepare yourself. I mean, we work 24-hour shifts. Our day off in between of those shifts are supposed to be rest days. We don't always get those as rest days on shift. You get home and your spouse has got plans or your kids have got activities and you don't get that rest. But, you know, really look for that rest because you might not get it the next night. You know, obviously I'm not the best example, but, you know, diet or exercise and those kind of things, you know, and obviously the hot now, plenty of water, plenty of those things that just keeps you feeling better about yourself, which keeps a good attitude. When you're run down or you're grumpy or you don't feel good or your knee hurts or something, you're going to take it out on something else. So take care of yourself.
And then I think another factor is just taking into account what you can control.
Right.
As well. Because, you know, when you talked about being at peace, I had a vacation where I was able to step away for almost 2 weeks from work and I was out on a ship. So sorry, there's no internet. There's no phone. I'm not going to be thinking about work. And while I was there with the extended family, I realized, hey, I'm content right now.
Right. Right.
I am not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about the things that are coming up. It's really nice to be able to have left it 1,000 miles from where I'm at right now.
Right.
And why can't I do that when I'm only 5 miles away from the office?
Right.
When I'm off? Why? Because that seems harder for me. But realizing that there are things that you can't control, and you can stress and worry and complain about those things, or you can realize that it's a waste of time, it's a waste of effort, and it's not going to change anything for the positive. So what honestly is the point? It's part of that, you know, complaining culture, being able to voice your displeasure with politics, religion, society, economics, and apparently now also work.
Right.
Where you know, it can take over your life like the phone does in the other things until you've had enough and you have enough and you've just got to walk away out of frustration. Right. And the reality is a lot of the things that people do complain about in the fire service are things that we can't control or influence in the first place.
Right.
And then are they really affecting the ability for us to do our job? You know, yeah. What's the relative importance of it? And we can always seek to improve all sorts of things in the fire service, but is that boss I don't like standing in the way of me delivering good service to the customer today? When I'm going into somebody's house, is that preventing me from having a good interaction with them, trying to make their day better, trying to help them out when they're having a medical emergency, or helping that elderly person that's called us for the third time this month,
right,
for a fall? But realizing if I take a look through their eyes about what's going on and let go of the things I can't control, I realize this person is terrified because they're losing their independence, their mobility, their ability to care for their spouse or themselves, and really don't know what their life looks like. And we might be upset that we had to step away from what we were doing at the station to come over and help today, but this person is suffering a true life crisis in their own mind.
Right.
It doesn't feel the same way to us, but through their perspective, and realizing that making a positive impact in their life right now is hugely important. And so whether you had the right type of air pack or not while you were fighting the fire, and the horrible decision about why did we pick this one versus the other one when they will all allow us to put out a fire,
right,
is probably a lot of wasted effort when we could be directing our energy towards something else that's a lot more positive and or enjoying our own lives while we're here at work. And realizing there are all sorts of departments that have the same issues that we do. It's not unique to me. It's not unique to the people I work with. Maybe I should just let that go and focus on the positive things. And maybe through positive energy, we can enact some change here versus out of the negative complaining,
right,
that can overtake your day and just make that shift miserable for your coworkers as well, too, as an added bonus. Well,
and that kind of brings up a point. A lot of times, if you want more input, just like you said, if something didn't go your way, you don't like the piece of equipment, whatever it is, and it turns your attitude bad, well, a lot of times it means you maybe need to get more involved and be part of a committee. A lot of times, I'm guessing most fire departments have committees like we do. We have a lot of them, but that's a way for people to get involved and impact those decisions. And people find activities or committees that they're interested in, they care the most about, and then they get more say in those things. We have an apparatus committee and a uniform committee and equipment. And so if you care a lot about equipment, then get involved in that committee, and that's going to give you more of a voice. Doesn't mean you have complete control. Again, it's a committee.
Right. It's a committee.
And then there are also budgets and other factors that come into play.
And sometimes that influence you need to make a change doesn't happen within 30 minutes or 30 days. Which in a TV culture and a social media culture is hard to stomach, again, if you don't sit back and have a little bit of perspective. But sometimes it means advocating for a change for 2 to 3 or 5 years before that change is finally able to happen. The politics are right. There's enough backing behind it. The budget is there for it. You've got support from elected officials to make this thing happen. That's important. And so losing sight of the fact that you can't make the positive change today, but you can make progress towards it and you could see a day when it can happen, can really help out with the attitude and not get discouraged, but realize that big changes, even small changes, sometimes take a lot of time and effort to come about.
Kind of. So you talk about, I'm sorry.
Good.
Yeah. You talk about controlling, right? What you can control. There's been a couple times in my life, I'd come home and be mad about something at work and my spouse recognized that immediately. And after about the third or fourth time of complaining, she finally just had enough. And she said, "What does it matter to us? What does it matter to us? Does it affect us?" I was not happy with an employee. That's their life. That's not our life. So get over it.
Well,
you're 100% right. I can control stuff. Can't control stuff at work, but I definitely can control my attitude when I come home from work and in a new space. So.
And I kind of wonder if some of these things are things we should be teaching or emphasizing more. We have added some of this stuff into our Recruit Academy, but it's funny, not funny, in that we want everything now. Pretty much every firefighter I know, they want everything right now. We have very little patience. It's not one of my virtues. I'm working on it, have been for years. It hasn't helped a whole lot. But that's kind of what...
Be patient.
It takes time.
I'll show you patient. But that's part of what our job is, to hurry up and fix a problem.
Yeah.
That's what we get paid to do. That's what we spend years, decades doing, is hurrying up to fix a problem. Somebody has an emergency, we go there and we fix it as quickly as we can. And so I think that feeds that impatience, because we get used to dealing with life-threatening issues in seconds or minutes. And we think everything that kind of just rolls on for everything else, and it doesn't. I was just thinking about when you were talking, Jeff, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. And I'm going, I think about two, three different current projects I have going on right now. And one big part of one of them just wrapped up and it took a little over a year.
Right.
And that's
pretty
good path. Yeah, that's pretty good pace.
Mm-hmm.
But the others are still ongoing.
Right.
And so it's learning that patience. And so I sometimes think, like I said, we have added some of this into our academy, but we almost need to sit down with our firefighters and, okay, you have to try to learn to separate emergency response and some of those traits from the other side. Well,
that's kind of interesting, because we have, I hate the word type A personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So we tell them to hurry up and then tell them to slow down. So
yeah, we teach
it's one of those things.
We spend the whole academy yelling at them, hurry up, hurry up, go, go, go. And now we're telling them,
hey,
slow
calm
down.
Calm down, buddy.
Yeah, take a deep breath.
Yeah, no, that's the challenges. I mean, that's the biggest challenges, but it all affects your attitude. And, you know, as administrators, you want to work on, you know, what's the attitude, what's the culture like, what's the morale like, how's that going, what can we do, listen, you know, I'll be open and listening. Give people a place to vent their frustration. I think that's important, as long as we all understand that this is just a place to vent our frustrations. It doesn't mean I'm going to fix your problem today or anything, but I'm listening. And I've always been the type that usually when I put my foot in my mouth is because I haven't got all the information. So I like to listen to all sides of the aisle, you know, when it comes to a topic, when everybody gets a chance to voice those. So that helps with attitudes, because they get a chance to voice their concerns or thoughts or plans or goals, those kind of things. So if you get those people involved and give everybody involved, I shouldn't say just people with bad attitudes, get everybody involved, and it keeps them in invested in the organization with a common goal, you know, with our core values and mission statements. And, you know, there is nothing better than I think firefighters perform best on the street. They do not perform the best in a classroom or around a kitchen table.
No, I think that's fair. You know, and we don't talk maybe enough about the health impacts of a bad attitude.
Yeah.
And when I think of bad attitude and the health effects of that, I think about the people who just can't let any of those things go.
Right.
You know, they get on a rant or a topic or multiples of them. And one of the signs that there's an issue we're not dealing with is when you discover that employee is working today and you decide, I don't want to talk about this thing with them in the room. I don't want to address this thing while they're working today. It might be, let's do a different day. Not right now. Let's maybe wait till they're out on a call and I'll talk about it with the rest of the crew that's here or something like that. When you see that you're actually going through avoidance behaviors because you don't want to have to deal with another bad attitude outburst or the continued rant on the thing, I think having a serious conversation with the individuals about the health effects of carrying all of that weight with you are important too. It's not just that the bad attitude is a sign of a bad person or a bad employee, but it's a sign of somebody who is also undergoing continual stress over things they shouldn't be stressing about. I don't know what kind of touchy-feely place I'm going to with this, but but actually talking as a crew or as a group about the fact that, listen, you shouldn't carry this around with you all the time.
Right.
being able to vent your frustrations is one thing. Having a list or a method of coming back to say, let's not forget about this. Let's keep working on it. And how are we trying to make progress on it? But you need to also be able to let it go so that your attitude doesn't become colored throughout the workday about negativity or what might be wrong about all sorts of things. Because if you get frustrated over the problems that aren't getting fixed immediately, you tend to look for more of those problems as more evidence of how bad everything is in the organization, how things aren't being addressed and they've never been addressed and they never will be addressed. And the next thing you know, you've got a little runaway meltdown over things that none of us can even possibly hope to solve in that kind of time frame. And I don't know that talking necessarily leads to the right results, but I know that ignoring the fact that that doesn't work either. And we need to be able to talk about that because maybe that's part of that first recognition point to say we need to convert that to a more positive energy. We need to convert our time into the time that we do talk about our problems. And even if we need to vent in that kind of way, okay, but when we're done, we need to box it up, walk away and say, we got to get on with the rest of the workday and enjoy the rest of our lives today, or our life today anyways. Say, let those things that we can't fix today go until the next, let's pick them up in the next shift and talk about them for half an hour and then put them back in the box again. You know, at least try to say, we'll let those go because we can't do anything more about it today. And let's focus on the things we can do that are positive or all the positive things that we have. You know, that's maybe part of that too, is that for a lot of us, we can't let those things go and we need to be able to learn how to do that. So we've got a good, healthy balance.
All right.
Well, that's part of our discussion this evening is kind of made me think I need to stop and ask myself those questions more. I know I'm supposed to stop, take a few deep breaths, slow down. I'm not good at that because a lot of times I'm overbooked. I'm too busy. And that's when things tend to kind of roll the wrong direction on me. But I never really stopped and asked myself those questions when I'm telling myself you really should slow down as I'm trying to get to the next meeting or you're trying to get to do the next thing. I like that idea of just stopping and going, well, is the ship moving in the right direction? We used to work with a guy that he'd always, are we going in the right direction?
Right.
You know, takes a long time to turn a ship. They don't turn on a dime. Mm-hmm. Is it going the right direction? Yeah. That's the main thing. Start with that. And then just like you said, Jeff, what's really important here? Maybe it's not the piece of equipment I wanted, but is it a piece of equipment that meets NFPA standards and will keep you safe and will function? Well,
sure.
Then those bigger questions. I like the idea of questioning ourselves.
Absolutely. You have to do those things. But like say, we have 140 plus people and there's organizations out there that are smaller and larger. How do you keep everybody happy? And you just have to, I've always looked at it as long as I had a voice at the table, it went my way or it didn't, at least I had a voice at the table. And that was the most important thing to me. And that was I did get involved in committees. I was fortunate enough to be promoted to positions to be involved in more things. That was important to me. I sit around the table. I've been the only one that's not agreed on things, but I had my chance to say what I wanted to say. And you guys, other people had chances to take in information or say what they wanted to say. And the decision was made.
Well, and I think
and you deal with it, you know, you just deal with it. It's part of life.
You bring up a good point there, too. I think we're at a time where we have a lot of really good leadership.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm biased, so I'm not talking, I'm not referring to myself. But we have a lot of good leaders out there that are willing to listen, that want input, that take input. But just like you said, it's realizing that they can't necessarily do everything you want. Sure. But if they'll listen to you and take your point of view, your suggestions, your thoughts into consideration, that's really awesome. Because it wasn't always that way. Everybody was that way.
No.
Sometimes it was that person's way or the highway.
Yeah, 100%.
Don't care if you like it.
I think you're seeing that leadership change across fire service to include more people. Try to do that. You know, I run some committees and I'm getting close to not far from retirement. I don't know what that day looks like, but I'm trying to get more and more of the younger involved. And let them make decisions. As long as I can keep them inside the sidelines, going in the right direction, they get the chance to run the show. And I think that's very important because something could happen to me. I could leave tomorrow or whatever. I know that the committee that I'm involved in is going to continue or the department's going to continue. That's not always easy to do. And that, you know, it comes down to attitude and sometimes maturity, those kind of things. So.
Yeah. And in addition to having us say that the individual who's complaining about something or has the issues that they've got to raise, they also have to be willing to help address the problem too.
Yeah.
I know one of those adages of management is if you're going to come to me with a problem, you also need to come to me with a solution. Yeah. It can't just be a bitch. It's got to be a, I think there's a way we could fix it.
Right.
And maybe that's not going to be the solution that's implemented, or you have to be willing to be a part of the team to try to address it then. So if you're going to bring up an issue, it can't be, you need to fix this. It's a health and safety issue.
Right.
Walk away from it. That's not fair. You can throw out health and safety things all day long.
Well, and I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
You can't, I guess my philosophy, it lines up very closely with that, that if you bring me something, I'm willing to help you do it, but I'm not going to do it for you, or I'm not going to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm busy, just like we just talked about.
Right.
Everybody's busy. You're busy. You're busy. So understand that if you want to change something, that you need to participate in it. And to be honest, of all the stuff that I've heard brought up over the years, most things are done if the person's willing to be
Absolutely.
Part of the solution.
Absolutely.
If they're willing to put a little bit of work into it, help with it, do a little bit of the research. We'll help guide it. We'll help. Yeah. I'll help you do the research, but I'm not going to do it all for you. There are very few changes I can think of that did not happen.
Yeah. I can't think of anything, but, you know, and then that gets the individual involved and they have some pride in what the change was made or things. And then their attitude is good, right? Back to attitude.
Hopefully.
Or they're onto the next grumpy thing, but it's important to, you know, keep your personal attitude in check. We all have to do it. I have to do it every day. I tell my wife she has to do it every day. She likes that. she likes that reminder. And you know, be out there and make the good effective changes. Be involved in the organization. Like, say, is the ship going in the right direction? I guarantee 99% of the ships out there are going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you want everybody to have the opportunity to provide input,
yep.
to raise issues and concerns. But it's also okay to say, I get what your concern is.
Yep.
Can't fix it today. We can work on fixing it today. I want you to be a part of the solution, but that's enough. I've heard you. Or I've heard you talk about this 5 times and we've heard it again. Listen, we're not going to fix it today, so we need to be done talking about it right now. Let's get on to something else that's important instead of being in a spiral about the things that we can't change, because we can come up with a whole list of them. But I think it's okay to acknowledge that too and say it's time to move on to something else. The old military philosophy, all right, that's great. Get out there and wash the trucks.
Right.
What do you mean wash the trucks? I've heard you people sit and complain enough. Go wash the trucks. You need to be busy. In other words, you're just trying to break the cycle first to say, it's not good to complain forever about things you can't change today. After the venting is done, you need to move on to your lives. Because
do you think the old chiefs actually did that, or they just wanted you busy and wash the trucks? That's how I always felt.
Well, depending on the circumstances.
Do you think they were that deep into the conversation about?
Not as deep as this, because they didn't have to get that deep. They could stay very shallow, and they understood a couple things. Yeah. So, like, if the guys were bitching about the thing we were supposed to do today, and I don't want to do this, that, and the other thing, and they assigned you to stripping and waxing the kitchen floor, and then you realize, what the heck? I hate that job.
That's worse than what I was going to do.
You realize, oh, I better stop complaining. Okay, we'll do the other thing. Huh. No, we already made the decision. You're what? Stripping and waxing the floor today. We'll train another day.
Yeah.
We're done. Yeah. Okay, well, that helped with an attitude adjustment, because we decided not to have that kind of crappy attitude again, or we knew it was going to be worse. So I'm not saying we go back to that, but breaking cycles of, you know, bad group behavior that you fall into without realizing what you're doing, that was kind of an old school way of saying, that's not good. Knock it off. Do this instead. Cause this is just going to drag
you. One, another show late, sooner or later, maybe we can talk about is making station assignments. We've always had that, you know, do you put the three grumpy guys together, or do you spread them out and wreck three crews? I don't know. That's just something to think about. That's for later.
I've thought both ways and other ways about that. I like the blind draw, and you redo all your shifts every year.
Yeah, they like that.
Yes. You don't take into consideration seniority, working personalities, captains, where you worked last year. You just draw.
I like putting bad attitudes on a different shift than mine. That helps me.
Oh, I think everybody likes that.
That makes my attitude very good.
Yes. I think we would all like to do that.
Well, I think we could talk about attitude all day. You know, it comes down to what, you know, how you look at things. So
I don't know. We didn't fix anything today. That's
no. Crap. And I think the reason we wanted to talk about it was, you know, when you are around the kitchen table, talk about attitude. I know that'd be a tough conversation to have sometimes, but get out there, talk about it. And like you guys have said in this show, just take it when you're bad at it, when you feel you're having a bad attitude, step back.
Yeah. Just think about it. Talk about it. Yeah. Reflect on what's important.
The changes start with the individual. And then after that, they start with the crews.
Yep.
It's hard to start from the top down and, you know, change your culture to a happy, contented, engaged, fulfilled culture. But
I was always
one firefighter can really be infectious.
I was always, you know, I always had good captains. And I was very fortunate through my career to have great captains, and their attitude kind of drove the shift.
Yeah.
Drove the crew. You know, they listened. They were always good. They listened to you complain, but they're like, all right, let's go.
Well, that kind of says it right there. It's even more important if you're a supervisor because you're impacting more people more dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if you're a supervisor, if you're an officer, it's even more important that you have that positive attitude and you work to instill that in your people.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, we didn't solve anything today, Jeff, but
no, but the discussion is one of those steps, isn't it?
Yeah.
Acknowledging what's out there, talking about it, trying to gain some shared understanding, shared ideas about how we can make changes in the fire service.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Now you've got the complete roadmap about how to fix culture. Just implement it and you'll be fine. That's a
whole different word.
Yeah, culture. That's a different show.
Oh. How does attitude fit into culture?
It all works together.
Next show.
Next show. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, sit around the kitchen table, talk about it. You dictate your own attitude. You dictate your crew's attitude, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, talk with you in a month or so. Be safe in the meantime.
All right. Take care.
Stay cool. Drink water.
Thank you for listening to Tailboard Talk. Don't forget to tune in each week, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific, for Fire Engineering Talk Radio. You can also subscribe to all of our shows on iTunes. Just search for Fire Engineering Talk Radio. Check out our educational programs and consultation services. They're all available at tailboardconsulting.com. There you can find links to all of our shows and our magazine articles. Thanks for listening and join us again next month for another episode of Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Like a trusted turnout jacket you've had for years, Flex 7 outer shell fabric delivers a perfectly broken-in feel on the very first wear. Flexible, comfortable, and powered with the strength of Enforce technology, Flex 7 outer shell fabric is made to move. To learn more, visit tenkatafabrics.com/flex7. Flex 7, powered by Enforce technology. Only from Tenkata Protective Fabrics.
This episode of Fire Engineering Podcast is sponsored by LogRx, providing real-time accountability of all your narcotics from cradle to grave. Coming soon, LogRx will also track medical supplies, equipment, PPE, and even vehicle checks. Learn a better way to track your narcotics at LogRx.com. That's LogRx.com.